Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Leonard Fournette, and you listen to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, and joining us today, one of the biggest guests in the fantasy football industry. Been trying to get him on the show or the pod or the serious show forever. I can't believe it's our first time having him on. He's a true titan in the industry. He is Evan Silva, at Evan Silva on Twitter. He's from Establish the Run. That's establishtherun.com. That's with Adam Levitan and our friend Michael Leone, who was on the podcast a few weeks back, an excellent guest, and a bunch of other great contributors they have there, a bunch of great products. You can get their draft kit right now over there at Establish the Run. Could not recommend the site highly enough. Silva, what the hell's going on, brother?
Alex, what's going on, man? Yeah, thanks so much for the kind intro. We're selling our fantasy football draft kit for $34.99 this year, and you get a $25 coupon to FFPC, so it really only costs you $9.99. You can use that coupon on to participate in any form of FFPC draft. If you want to join like a main event team for $1,850 buy-in, really, you know, really start playing fantasy football seriously, that's an option to you. You can also use it in a $35 league, and you only end up paying $10 for that league. So, but hey, it's been a good day. It's been a good day for you guys and for us, because we have been on the Leonard Fournette fade train, and he, of course, got waived, although there's still a possibility that a team could acquire him later, by the end of the transaction day today, via trade, if some team just wants to throw in a conditional seventh rounder, that's still on the table. I guess a team could pick him up off waivers within the next 48 hours. But hey, you guys did a great job covering this. I know Byron is your guy on the Jaguars, and he had some great intel and sort of, you know, further confirmed what my suspicions were, that Leonard Fournette was on the outs. I mean, they do save over $4 million against the salary cap. They're not going to use that this year, but they could tack that onto their salary cap next year. So, it makes sense for a tanking team.
Yeah, no, totally. Appreciate that. It's been a tough year with getting out to these training camps with everything going on, man. Teams are really weird, but certainly that was an important one to get out to, and it's a big deal. By the time people hear this, you know, Leonard Fournette could be signed somewhere, or they could. I don't even want to bring up the odds I just saw from Bovada. It looks like the odds on favorites, the Chicago Bears, weirdly. Mm-hmm. What did you do in your top 150? You have the top 150 over there at Establish the Run that everybody sort of knows you for your preseason prognostications. Like, what are you doing with Chris Thompson? It seems like he'll have a pass catching floor that could be appealing for PPR. And he was getting a bunch of work down at the goal line during the practices that Byron was at. It feels like he should probably be in the guy that went from, you know, very, very bottom of your considerations for somebody in a zero RB type of draft to maybe somebody you could be thinking about to have some kind of role. Did you make any significant moves with Chris Thompson?
I have not moved Leonard Fournette yet. I just put like asterisks around him. You know, you can't really draft. I just want to see what happens by the end of the day today. If no team trades for him. If no team claims him, I'm going to move him down like 20 spots. But we were already really low on him. We had him as like a fit. There's still a scenario again where we shouldn't even speculate about that. On to Chris Thompson. One of the reasons that I didn't like Leonard Fournette as a fantasy pick this year is because I don't like to bet on running backs in bad offenses that aren't going to score very many points. And I'm still feeling that I have Chris Thompson in the top 150. I have Rykel Armstead in the top 150 and Divine Azigbo, but they're all like in the 130s range. And I'm still not super excited about any of them because, again, I like to fade bad offenses in general whenever I can, especially when we know that there's going to be a committee of some sort.
Yeah, certainly there will be a committee there. It's like I think that Chris Thompson probably has the most distinguished role, whether it's the most high value role, we don't really know, but it's really hard sifting through the difference between Rykel Armstead and Divine Azigbo and James Robinson and these guys.
Yeah, James Robinson is another good name to bring up. UDFA with Armstead, he missed the beginning of camp like at least a week with COVID. He was on the COVID list, and now he is listed as missing practices with an illness. So it seems to me like he could be falling behind. He is still the running back there that they've invested the most in. It was only a fifth round pick, but that's more than, you know, Chris Thompson for the league minimum and Divine Azigbo, who I think they got off waivers from the Saints last year, and James Robinson, who went undrafted. What do you think about Azigbo? Because I always kind of liked him.
I do too. I mean, I remember even going back to he was a Shrine Game guy the year before last. And you know what Byron told me there from that camp, and what he told me this morning when I was saying, like, well, what do we do? I think I know about what to do on our cheat sheet with Chris Thompson. It feels like he probably needs to live somewhere in a PPR cheat sheet, maybe around, you know, after you can get the James Whites or those kind of other floor sort of zero RB kind of guys, maybe a little after those guys. But it was Azigbo and it was Rykel Armstead that I'm just like, well, these guys are late round flyers as it is, but who should we have in front? And Byron said for sure Azigbo based on what he saw.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So that's
I like that because I was gonna, because I think that the popular stance is, oh, now we gotta go get Rykel Armstead, but I think that we can get a little edge if Azigbo is actually favored.
And maybe for a little bit less of your free agent budget,
exactly.
That's the way we're leaning for right now. We've always liked Rykel, but Rykel got opportunities last year, and did you watch him in any of the times whenever he was getting a good run? He didn't look that good as an NFL player.
No. And I mean, he's sort of, you know, he's like a speed score guy who doesn't really play to that speed. And I remember he had like a touchdown reception on some crazy play that Minshew made. Where he was scrambling around, you remember, but Armstead, I mean, he didn't get receiving work in college really. And I don't know. It's a toss up and probably none of them are really going to help us, but I'm with you. I kind of like Azigbo and then Chris Thompson will have a PPR floor.
That team's in full blown tank mode, man. Yeah. It's just, how is Dave Caldwell not fired?
Unbelievable. It's so Teflon crazy. Dave.
You and the Podfather ought to do your next. If he's still hired next year, you need to do your next scathing indictment on a club on the Jacksonville Jaguars and how Dave Caldwell has just been allowed to. I mean, that was a team that played for the AFC Championship in 2017. I mean, 2017. How can things go so sideways?
I think the best tweet that I saw today was that from Greg Rosenthal, and he tweeted, "The Jaguars drafted Fournette over Mahomes and Watson because they had Blake Bortles." Just think about that.
It's so stupid. Yeah. It's dumb, man. It goes to show that you should never pick for need in the NFL draft because you never know where you're going to be in 2 or 3 years as far as your needs. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, as far as our fantasy drafts, enough of this Fournette talk. I wanted to get, but you know, I do want to hear about a few other players who you hate. And so I want to add, since you were so prescient about Leonard Fournette, so I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that. But just in the meantime, just a couple of kind of high level thoughts about in fantasy drafts. One thing I've noticed is in 12-team leagues, I like to have the number one pick so I can get Christian McCaffrey. But if I have the number two or the number three or the number four pick, of course, I like getting those players. Saquon Barkley's, strength of schedule, has been a little bit bothersome for me. But, of course, he's Saquon, and you don't really, you can't really take it too much into account. But the way that these drafts fall, man, it's like after the guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Julio Jones and Aaron Jones go off the board, and if Austin Eckler's already gone and Drake and, like, all the rest of these guys, I find it horrible to be picking at the 2-3 turn whenever I'm basically forced to take, like, a Chris Godwin or maybe a tight end or, God forbid, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and those guys are starting to go around there too. It feels too early for Kenny Golladay. How are you navigating that 2-3 turn? Are you just biting the bullet and saying, like, you know what, it is a technical advantage to have one of these tight ends, even though I don't like the way my roster looks quite as much after I'm done. Maybe bite the bullet on one of those guys if all these main running backs are gone. And it just, to you, does it feel a little bit high to be taking a guy like Chris Godwin or Kenny Golladay there?
Yes. No, I completely agree with, all the thoughts that you expressed there. I've been fortunate that in two main event drafts recently, I started from the 102 and the 103. And I was fortunate in the first one to get Zeke and Aaron Jones made it back to me. And I felt fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the other one, it was Barkley and then Eckler made it back to me.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
But I was very, very fortunate. I mean, I was like, biting my nails, hoping that these guys would make it back, and I was just fortunate. But yeah, there would have been a sort of a disaster scenario where I might have had to take like Chris Godwin at like 210, and that's just it's too rich for me this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been, that would not have been a comfortable draft pick, and that's probably would have been the pick that I would have had to make.
And what about if Kelce and or Kittle were available there? Is that part of your plan this year, or is it just because
these were tight end premium, so those guys did not.
All right. FFPC wouldn't have been. But what about in standard, but just in regular leagues where there's no tight end premium?
Yes, I still think Kelce probably won't, but I do think that Kittle would be an excellent pick at like 210. I mean, I think he's going to go nuts this year. You look at Emmanuel Sanders is gone. Debo, we don't know about him. Ayuk, we don't know about him, from a health standpoint. I mean, Kittle, and then week one against the Cardinals, like, forget about it.
That's right. Yeah.
George Kittle is going to do some gnarly things to, Isaiah Simmons after 12 padded practices and Buda Baker, now the richest safety in the league. Like, what? I mean, George Kittle is going to do some nasty things in week one.
The 2020 Roster Watch Draft Cheat Sheet is available now at rosterwatch.com. The revolutionary cheat sheet is back. Just follow the three simple rules and an expert quality draft is guaranteed. That's it, three simple rules. It doesn't get any easier. Winning fantasy players don't use outdated magazines or expensive draft software that's impossible to navigate. Just bring along the Roster Watch Cheat Sheet to your draft and dominate. It's only $5.99. Download now at rosterwatch.com. It's the ultimate draft cheat sheet, only at rosterwatch.com.
If you're in a league where you get to pick your draft slot or something, maybe think about, if you can't get number one, maybe just think about those issues you could have at the 2-3 turn. And if you're comfortable with possibly going tight in there or having to do a little bit of a reaching for, one of these guys like Godwin. As we turn to the second and third round, the third round is where you famously said on Twitter that that's the worst. If you want to find the fish at the table or whatever you said, like find the guy that takes Fournette in the third round. Those were prescient words. Whenever we look at some of these other guys going in the third round at the running back position, are you becoming more comfortable with Todd Gurley with the news that Dirk Cutter? All right. Well, so what is it just because he's old and he's got an arthritic knee and you're just worried about it?
Yeah, I it's the arthritic knee, and it's, this dude has played on grass like his entire career. He played on grass at Georgia. He played it on grass in LA. And I mean, I don't know how this is going to go in Atlanta. And I don't trust him to hold up. And he always goes too early. I mean, I'm not taking running backs in the fourth round. I want to start RB times two if I can. And then you know, I'll be willing to take, like, you know, a shot on like Cam Akers in the fifth, or even like Kerryon Johnson in like the 10th, or, you know, there are guys throughout the draft that I like it. I can get as my RB3, RB4, RB5. I'm taking wide receivers in the fourth round.
Are you going, or do you find yourself with your, and clearly, I mean, the draft's going to have to come to you. I mean, you're not the kind of guy that's just going to be married to a strategy, but, right. Is there anywhere in there? Cause like, if we're talking, say guys, you know, third, like if you started out, like you said, in that one league, you said your FFPC league where you went, whatever, you know, Zeke and whatever, was it Eckler or something like that?
Yeah.
And then you could go something like, who knows, maybe you go like DJ Moore, you know, Adam Thielen or something like that, right? Whatever you go from there, you know, if you get down to this sort of maybe Robert Woods and where Keenan Allen's going now, or Tyler Lockett, that's also about where like Jonathan Taylor is going.
True.
Do you still continue to really favor wide receivers through that portion of the draft, and you're waiting until that sort of carry-on area that's a little bit later? Or are there guys that are intermingled through those mid rounds at the running back position, when we talk about, say, like the Jonathan Taylors, when we talk about maybe, you know, I guess DeAndre Swift is probably a guy that everybody in the industry is kind of cooling on now. Yeah. What, like Cam Akers, do you ever find those guys as any part of your builds, or are you generally sort of hands off as you're loading up at, cause there really is a ton of wide receiver value for like four rounds in a row.
Yeah. I think that James Conner in the third round is very justifiable. He's another guy who I think he's going to be chalking DFS week one, playing against the Giants. Like, people are going to want to play the Steelers defense against fumbling Daniel Jones.
And then
James Conner, you know, because you know he's going to be healthy in week one. The reason that people don't want him is in season long is because they think he's going to get hurt. He's going to be healthy for week one. And then he's got a great, great matchup against the Giants. Probably going to have one of the worst defenses in the league. Jonathan Taylor is the guy that I've been getting more recently, even though his price has come up. I mean, he's going to have like spiked weeks. He's going to break long touchdown runs behind that offensive line and with the way that he plays. And I mean, I don't know how many passes he's going to catch. But I mean, I think he's an excellent high upside RB2. We talked a little bit about Cam Akers. Daryl Henderson went down. Malcolm Brown, I think, is just a guy. And Cam Akers in the fifth round, probably my favorite. Yeah, no, definitely my favorite fifth round running back, Cam Akers.
Yeah, he's a guy who's growing on me, especially now, you know, that we get – there was some – I forget what the exact quote was, but, you know, saying that, that the Rams would like to have a primary back. I don't think that it's going to – I don't think it's going to be Daryl Henderson. I never thought it was, and I certainly don't think so now after they've spent that money on the draft capital on Cam Akers. Are you as into Marquise Brown as it seems like everybody else is?
Yeah, I have him lower than ADP, but it's not because I don't like him. It's just because I like some guys ahead of him more. Like, I'm drafting Will Fuller over him.
That's understandable.
I'm drafting Michael Gallup over him. Who else is in that range? Keenan Allen. I have those guys. I have Keenan Allen and Marquise Brown like neck and neck. Oh, I just moved DeSean Jackson to wide receiver 30. Right behind those guys. I want DeSean Jackson on all my teams right now, with Rieger going down and Alshon who knows when, and Arcega Whiteside showed us nothing. The Washington football team has the Eagles in week one, and the Eagles face the Washington football team in week one, and there's nobody in that secondary that scares me. That's a revenge game for DeSean Jackson. He's a guy that actually has like crushed in like every revenge game ever. You can just go back to week one against the Washington football team last year, and he had 157 yards and, you know, multiple touchdowns. And the target competition for him, especially in the downfield passing game right now, is non-existent. You have Goddard, you have Ertz, you have Miles Sanders, all kind of short area, you know, possession receivers. And it's DeSean Jackson and a whole lot of nothing in the Eagles downfield passing game right now.
Yeah, with Rager out, it's like it's just a whole bunch of rookies that they didn't even like as much as Rager. And then some guys, as I was kind of looking in that Will Fuller, Marquise Brown, Michael Gallup area that we talked about, I hate to keep just jumping around, but just as far as ADP, Ronald Jones sort of lands around there. Yeah. Are you ever going to buy on Ronald Jones? I've seen him drop in some of these simulations to the eighth round of these drafts. Mm. I don't think that probably happens in the sharper, like underdog fantasy or FFPC. Mm-hmm. But if you just look at some of the simulations where you pull in the mock draft data from like Fantasy Pros and some of the sites like Yahoo and ESPN, you can get him seventh, eighth round. Would you be interested in Ronald Jones at that spot? Or are you interested where he's going in the fifth or sixth in FFPC?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's where I'm mostly playing is FFPC and then DraftKings best ball right now. And he just always goes two rounds before I take him. I mean, I've never been a Ronald Jones guy, you know.
Right.
I'm open to the opportunity. The situation seems good. But, I mean, this guy has never been able to catch passes, even going back to his high school career. And he's prone to error. And Tom Brady is going to be the guy dictating the playing time in that backfield. So, I mean, I don't really have a problem with him, except I actually have like lots of problems with him. So, he's one of those guys that I was right on coming out of college.
Right.
And like, you know, I guess I'm holding on to that prior because I've been right for 2 years now.
It's kind of like how I feel like I was with Jay Ajayi, and it looked while there like I was going to get swindled and he was actually going to be good.
Yeah.
But we're gonna see whether or not your priors are going to stand up this year with Ronald Jones. It looks like he's going to get the run to start, but I think that. I mean, what Byron and I talked about on the serious show is just like he seems like a guy that might start out the season as an RB2 for you in fantasy, but by the end, doesn't it feel like he's probably going to be a guy that you're going to be struggling to want to get in your flex? You know, by the end of the season, feels like that's the way.
I wonder if the Bucks might go get Fournette too. I don't know.
Well, they were certainly on. It was the three highest. The three highest were the Bears, the Washington. It's funny, man. You did it earlier. I said Washington Redskins yesterday on the serious show, and I immediately corrected myself and I said, I'm sorry, the Washington football team Redskins.
Yeah.
And it's like I didn't even correct it. but it's gonna be hard. But yeah, so it's the Washington football team. And then the Bears in first, Washington football team, New England Patriots, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Patriots, what a swindle that would be, because Damian Harris is somebody who you've been able to get super late in drafts. Did you get interested in Damian Harris? Do you remain interested in Damian Harris, even though the Sony Michel's back now and he's you know, basically splitting reps with the ones?
I was drafting Damian Harris there for a while in like the 11th, 12th, 13th.
Right.
But he has moved up to like the 8th, 9th, 10th now, and I am worried about Leonard Fournette potentially going to the Patriots. I'm not a big believer in Damian Harris from a talent standpoint. I think he's closer to a Jag. And a lot of the reason that I wanted Damian Harris was because the reports were that Sony Michel was going to go on reserve PUP. That's not happening. And then Lamar Miller today was back from PUP. So it's starting to get and there was never really a scenario where Damian Harris was going to catch a lot of passes because James White does that in their backfield. And so I'm like taking Burkhead real, real late, and that's about it.
I know that, you know, speaking of these committee backfields in the AFC East, I listened to y'all's you guys have a great podcast at Establish the Run. I think it's just Establish the Run podcast. You can find it wherever. And you're on there with Adam Levitan, or sometimes there's guests. But there was one recently where you guys were talking about your interest in Zach Moss. Zach Moss was a guy who we've kind of been talking about. Byron keeps telling me that I have a blind spot to him just because I wasn't that high on him as a prospect.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did point out the fact that PFF had him as their number one running back in the whole damn class, which, I mean, you got to give that. I mean, people can bitch and complain about PFF all they want and stuff like that. But I mean, sometimes you got to take a little bit of wisdom of crowds and say, well, you know, they got some smart people there. If they made him number one, Like, that's getting taken into consideration. And Devin Singletary's fumbling in practice. Fumbling was an issue for Devin Singletary last season. A very underreported issue for Devin Singletary's last season was, mm-hmm. was his ball security. I heard on the podcast you guys are interested in taking Zach Moss. Where is it that you're taking him and targeting him? Is that like more like an eighth or ninth round kind of thing? Are you willing to kind of go to that distance to be able to make sure that you get him?
No, it's still an eighth or ninth round thing for me because I question his upside. Number one, playing in the same backfield as Josh Allen, who is going to hog goal line scores. Singletary mm-hmm. is still going to be involved. So, you know, is Moss like, you know, remember in the same backfield with like Cam and Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, they would always just kind of limit each other's upside. And right. it was sort of frustrating. And then when they got out on their own, hey, you know, Jonathan Stewart had some big years. D'Angelo Williams.
Even D-Will.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. he lit it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just worry that they have a sort of like a limiting factor in terms of their ceiling. So I've actually been getting some Singletary in the seventh round lately. And then I'd be willing to take Moss in the eighth or ninth. But I think that it's tough to get really excited about any individual there other than just, you know, straight up mid round picks.
All right, Silva, I'm very mindful of your time here. So just two more kind of overreaching, okay. like bigger questions, right? Just because the people need to know, the people need Silva's picks. And so who are some of these guys, just as you look down your list of your top 150 or your list of ADP, who are the guys, just, you know, a few of them, who you find yourself just, if not leaving every draft with, because you can't leave every draft with somebody, but that you'd like to leave most drafts with, that you feel like you have a ton of, you've got a lot of exposure to through your best balls, through your early drafts. Who are some of your guys this year?
Certainly DeSean Jackson, who we already mentioned. Mm-hmm. His FFPC main event ADP is like in the 130s, and I just put him at 59 overall. So,
he's one of your guys.
Yeah. yeah. Guys. If you are using the rankings, you are fucking getting DeSean Jackson. yeah. I can assure you that. You know, I would say Chris Herndon of the Jets, although he is skyrocketing. So I've sort of pivoted a little bit to Blake Jarwin, who is also on the rise, but is still cheap enough to where even an FFPC, tight end premium, you know, I could still get him in the 10th. And so in like a probably regular season long home league, I mean, some fantasy leaguers in a league like that might've never even heard of Blake Jarwin. So you mm-hmm. can probably get Blake Jarwin like in the 13th there, but I like investing in the Cowboys offense pretty much any way that I possibly can, because I think that they're going to be like the NFC's version of the Chiefs this year.
Yeah, I like it too, man. So D-Jax, Herndon, and then mm-hmm. but since Herndon is getting more and more popular, it's going to be Jarwin.
Yeah.
And then, all right. So I'm going to ask you about the guys you hate, because you were so right on with Leonard Fournette. But before I do, just let me remind everybody that they can find Evan Silva on Twitter at Evan Silva. Of course, he's still writes the matchups column that you might have been used to reading every week over on Roto World. That thing's now moved over to Establish the Run. They have Josh Hermsmeyer's by low model. They have the offensive line versus defensive line, sort of whatever. What's the guy's name who does that? Thorne?
He's really good.
Yeah, really good. They got Pat Thorman, Leone, just a really good team over there at Establish the Run. They have their draft kit available right now, $35. But if you buy it, you get a FFPC $25 voucher. So mm-hmm. you were told that there was no math, but that's still, it's like a $10 membership. So there we go. That's at Evan Silva on Twitter. All right, Silva, I'm going to get you out of here on this one.
Okay.
Leonard Fournette, he's turned to dust. At least we think he's turned to dust. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. if you're warning people, players to stay away from, who do they need to stay away from in 2020 fantasy drafts?
It pains me to say, but Josh Jacobs.
Oh, it pains me to hear.
Yep. And it's not necessarily through any fault of his own. I think that he might already be a top five sort of ball carrier in the NFL. But the Raiders continue to assemble players around him to cut into his passing game usage. And the passing game usage is going to be especially critical this year because the Raiders have one of the toughest schedules in the league. After week one against the Panthers, which we're going to play them in DFS in week one.
Yep.
But after they play the Panthers in week one, the next wave of opponents that they have is just absolutely brutal. I know I'm not in front of my computer right now, but I know it begins with the Saints. They play the Chiefs twice in there. They play the Patriots in Foxborough. I mean, it's just every bad matchup that you could possibly think of through like week 10 or 11. And because they're going to be – and they weren't good last year. I know they went, 7-9 or whatever, but they were really bad. They were bottom five in point differential. They just won a bunch of close games early in the year. And then they were actually 6-4 at one point. And then they were really badly exposed down the stretch. So they're going to be in negative game scripts. And it looks like Josh Jacobs not even going to be on the field in those situations because they signed Jalen Richard, who ran only 7 fewer pass routes than Josh Jacobs did all last year. They picked up Devontae Booker and Theo Riddick. Those guys could maybe even both get cut, but it's still a sign of what they're doing. They drafted Lynn Bowden in the third round, and you know they're playing him at running back. So, I mean, the team is screaming at us, we're not going to throw the ball to Josh Jacobs this year unless it's on first and second down. And now their schedule sets up for them to be playing from behind. So that is – That looks like a potential disaster situation. And if you look at the way that Josh Jacobs produced last year, his splits were huge in wins versus losses. He didn't score a single touchdown in a loss last year, and he scored all 7 of his touchdowns in wins. And his yards per game, yards from scrimmage per game, dropped from like 120 to 80, going from wins to losses. So what you were holding in your hand during Raiders losses last year was 80 yards from scrimmage and 0 touchdowns. That's 8 fantasy points. We don't want 8 fantasy points from our second round pick.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.